Hi, and welcome to IWB Pods. This is your host, Keshav. Let me introduce you to IWB Pods a little bit because this is our first podcast. So this is the new podcast from the Indian Women blog where we talk about unique stories of real women. And today we're sitting down with one such brilliant woman, Miss Pooja Dhingra, the founder of Le 15 Patissier, the bakery in Mumbai that pioneered macaroons. Hi, Pooja. It's so nice to talk to you.
Hi, Keshav. Thanks for having me.
Did I say the name right?
No, you messed up.
So could you please tell our
it's
listeners?
It's Le 15 Patisserie.
Le 15 Patisserie. Yeah. I keep that in mind. So let's just dive right in.
Yeah.
And so your story is very inspirational in a way that you quit your corporate career and you moved to a more,
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't call it a corporate career. I decided to go to law school, which lasted 2 weeks. I was still 18 then, so it wasn't really like a big, you know, I didn't study and then later in life decided I want to change. I went to school, I saw the books and said, this is not for me. Luckily, I had very supportive parents who were okay with me choosing what I wanted to do. And that took me to Switzerland and then, yeah, and then Paris and then back to Mumbai.
So there are many young people today who also want to pursue their passions rather than, you know, the career that is more conventional.
Yeah.
So what do you think you'd say to those people who are thinking about this particular?
I mean, it's always, you know, when you do something that you're passionate about, it shows and it's something that you put your whole heart and soul in. Not that it's any less work or that it's easy or it's none of those things. You'll still have to work as hard, but at least it doesn't feel like work at the end of the day. I'm working 15, 16 hours a day, but it just feels like I enjoy what I do. And that's the only difference between that and a regular job, right?
15, 16 hours a day?
Pretty much, yeah. All my waking hours are work hours, yeah.
Oh, wow. So it takes a lot of courage to start your own enterprise. When you're starting your own enterprise, it's a lot of risk. You know, you never know what returns you'll get. So tell us about your struggles and the problems that you faced when you were starting your enterprise.
So I started when I was 22, right? And that's when I started thinking about Le 15. And I think what really worked for me is my lack of experience, because everybody tells you you have to have experience. But I think when we get too much experience, we form these notions of what we can do, what we can't do. And I think for me, what was great was that I just jumped. I just went in blind and I was so naive that I thought I could do everything. And that helped, you know, because I couldn't do everything, but I could do a lot of things.
Yeah.
And you learn things along the way. So so for me, that was great. Obviously, there were struggles every single day and they still are. Only the struggles have changed from what it was when I started. When I started, it was more about, I was a young girl trying to break into an industry that was male-dominated. So trying to get people to take me seriously, whether it was suppliers or brokers, all of that, leading a team, all of those things on a day-to-day basis. I didn't know much about, you know, government regulations, so educating myself on that. To today, it's, you know, we're at a 7 years later, we're at a scale where my challenges are like more about quality control or how do I expand, do I want investment? So it's kind of different challenges, but they never go away.
So you said that you learned a lot of things after you started.
Yes.
So tell me a couple of things that you learned. Through practical experience.
Oh, how much time do we have? I think most of it was, I think one is that there should be no place for fear in your mind when you're doing a business or anything. If you can't go in starting something with a plan B, you know, you have to, whether it's a new business, a new menu, a new venture, a new book, whatever it is, I think you have to go in with 100% confidence that it's going to be successful. And I think when we put in doubt and when we put in, things, you tend to, you know, go towards failure more often. And having said that, it's also important to fail. So you go in thinking that you won't, but there are times that you will. And I think those are more important lessons. You learn more from when you fail than when you succeed, right? And so it's always be open to two things going wrong, and they will go wrong, and you just have to be very good at disaster management and just take it as it comes. So each day you learn something new and just be prepared for it.
So you've never had a contingency plan?
No, never.
Never?
Never.
So like, for example, you're going through a particular struggle and you've never thought that, you know, I wish I had a backup plan right now.
No, never. I've never thought of a backup plan. I mean, I always want to retire on an island, but that is a retirement plan, not a backup plan.
Yeah.
So never. Yeah.
Okay. So as you said that it's a very male dominated industry,
yes.
And I read about you, and you learned cooking from pastry cooking from your mother.
Yeah.
And now you are one of the most famous pastry cooks in India, if I'm not exceeding my boundaries by saying that. So how did that happen? Like, did you ever face sexism in the industry, or did you ever face...
No, so for me, I mean, I grew up baking, and that's when I learned from my mother. But then I moved to Switzerland and France, and I actually went to culinary school. I worked in a kitchen in Paris, and, you know, I worked in a chocolate shop, which is amazing. But out of seven of us that actually worked there, there was one male, and six of us were girls, right? And then when I came back, I didn't really work for anybody else in the country. I started my own company, so there wasn't there wasn't a scope for sexism, because I was dealing, you know, I was at the top level. But we made sure, because half our team, almost, I mean, 40% of our team is consists of women, and we make sure there's a good balance in the team, whether it's the stores or the kitchen, where we have, you know, female store managers or waiters or even cooks. And I think that to have a balance, an equal balance of people, prevents sexism in a workplace. In fact, it just makes it, you know, open to conversation and much better. Yeah.
Okay. So this is a question that you must have gotten a million times by now. But just for our viewers, why macarons? Because when you started this bakery,
yeah,
there was, of course, not a scene of macarons, but there was not a scene of a lot of other products as well, like bagels, for example. Why not bagels? Why macarons?
So I studied in Paris. My very first week in Paris, I was at a party with some French friends, and they were talking about macarons, and I was like, what is that? And they were like, what? You're here to learn French pastry. You've never tasted a macaron? And I was like, no. And so they told me, they said, go to this shop. It's this pastry chef, Pierre. May go to the shop and try it. And so I went, and, you know, I still remember, like, buying my first macaron and tasting it, and it was just so perfect. It was like a mix of, it was a passion fruit one, so it was like sweet and savory and like acidic and everything together.
Sounds
like
delicious.
Just flavors that I was like, wow. And that's when it was like, okay, why haven't I never tried it before?
Yeah.
Why is it not available in India? Why isn't anybody doing this? And so I made it my mission that when I go back, I'm going to do this.
So since you've started macarons, now macarons are available pretty much everywhere. Like, in any city, you can find a macaron now. So how does your macaron, how is it the most authentic macaron?
I mean, I honestly haven't tried any where else, but I feel like what is really great with what we do is we work with French techniques, but then the flavors that we do are a lot of fun. So we have our classical French flavors. Then we also play around with some Indian flavors. Travel inspires us. So if I'm in Japan, if I'm in New York, whatever, I pick things up and mix it with it. So it's always fun. The technique that we use is classic French, but we have a lot of fun with it.
I saw the website where you've put pictures of all the macarons, and I saw this Indian paan flavor,
yes.
Which I'm sure people in Jaipur would love.
Yeah, it's a bestseller.
Yeah.
I started it with a Made in India collection where we did five flavors.
Okay.
And paan and green chili were the two that everyone loved, and it just stayed on our menu.
Green chili macaron.
Yes.
So what was that like?
So it's great because it's spicy, but it's mixed with white chocolate, so it's sweet, and it's a perfect combination.
Wow. How has the Indian baking scene changed since you started the cafe?
It's completely changed. I mean, when I started, for example, when I went to culinary school, I was the only Indian student there. This was 9 years ago. And I keep going back to school just to, you know, keep in touch. And when I went last year, there were, each class had at least six or seven students. That shows you how open people are to accepting this as a career, not only students but also parents that are sending them there, right? Because you know that you can come back and it's actually a viable career option. So there's a lot of people that have gone abroad, a lot of people that are studying pastry here and then, you know, want to venture out and do something by themselves. So the whole landscape is changing. You have ingredients that are easily available now. You have equipment. I started a line of baking equipment, which, you know, just trying to find struggle, whatever I was struggling with, to work with that. So I think you'll see in the next couple of years, you'll see a lot more bakeries and hopefully a lot more chefs.
A lot more macarons as well.
Yes.
So now that you are, it's an entire operation, you have sous chefs and you have an entire operation now. Do you take a more proactive approach, or is it a more hands-off approach?
No, so I mean, I'm there every single day. Creating new things is what excites me. It's the best part of my job. So I start my day every day in the kitchen, and then from there I do everything else. So,
15 to 16 hours.
Yeah, exactly. I start at 7, I'm there. And then I work on new recipes, whether it's a new book or whether it's just stuff for the new menu. And then the team handles the daily production.
Okay. For example, if there's a bad review on a social network site, say Zomato or some particular site, how do you react to that? What is your reaction to that?
I think with food, you have to understand that it's very subjective. Something that I like, you might not like. You might find it too sweet. You might find it too salty. It's something that you can't, as long as you are certain of what you're putting out. Everything that we make is made fresh every day. It's tested every day. Before we put any product out, we do a little test with a test group.
Okay.
So we know exactly what people will say about it. And so when it's out, I know some people might find this too sweet, and that's what they will like. But if they find it too sweet, we have something else on the menu that they will like. So it's something that unless it's very constructive criticism, and then we actually, we'll consider it and change it. But if it's just someone who's having a bad
trolling
day,
you, yeah,
then we don't take it seriously.
Okay. So I've seen, when I was researching for this podcast, I saw photos of your bakery, and it's beautiful. And it's so minimalistic. Like, the entire focus is on food, I think. And can you tell me a little bit about that? What was your intention when you were setting up?
So, I mean, it was just, it's always been about food and food being the star of everything, right? I live in Europe, so my aesthetic is very European. And I just wanted to bring that in with everything. So whether it's our packaging, whether it's the look of the stores, it's a combination of, our designer and me working together on everything. And that's what I have most fun with, actually.
Okay. Can you tell me a little bit about your childhood? Because your father and your brother are both restaurateurs themselves. And your mother taught you pastry cooking. So can you dig in a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's a family obsessed with food. This family is never going to lose any weight. So we always have butter chicken and cupcakes in our fridge. But so I grew up in Bombay. The family loves food. My father was a partner in some restaurants growing up. So we always, when I was 12 or 13, my dad had a Mexican restaurant.
Okay.
So our summers were spent, in the restaurant, in the kitchen, just hanging around, like looking at everything. So we kind of were introduced into the world of restaurants very young. Then that shut down, and that wasn't his primary business. So we never really thought that, we always wanted to do something, but we never really, like, my brother went to study finance, and I wanted to do law, and then both of us were just like, let's go to Switzerland. So we both quit what we were doing and moved to Switzerland to study.
Okay.
So I think there's always been a sort of support from the family to do. I think, and that is very important. And I think more Indian parents need to understand that if your children are good at something and they really want to pursue it, they will excel at it, right? And it's no point making them do something they don't want to do. So for us, we were lucky in that aspect. But there's always been, food has always been a big part of our lives. We are that family that will be eating lunch and discussing dinner and lunch the next day. Our travels are based around it, and our childhood was full of, food memories.
So I think that the lesson that Indian parents can take is that if you are supportive of what choices your children are making, they are definitely going to succeed at that if they're actually good at it.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So now we have a little rapid fire round.
Okay.
Which is going to, let's hope, bring some secrets out. So there's no timer.
Okay.
But
great.
It just has to be your
Do
pick,
I get a quick. Hamper?
You might. You never know. So one experiment that went horribly wrong.
I wanted to make kala khatta macarons, and I was disgusting. I never made them again.
Okay. What is your favorite Indian dessert?
Rasmalai.
Okay. Out of all the celebrities that you've served, who is your favorite?
Sonam Kapoor.
Not Salman Khan.
I mean, Sonam's is a friend, and she pushes me to think and change things around. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Mumbai or Paris?
You can't do this to me. Both. 6 months here, 6 months there.
No, you have to pick one.
Mumbai.
Okay. favorite bakery other than your bakery?
In India or in the world?
Anywhere.
I'm a big fan of Pierre Hermé. That's where I learned everything, yeah.
Okay. One ingredient that is your favorite?
Chocolate.
The best compliment you've heard for your cooking?
So a lot of people taste the macarons and said that, you know, they're better than the ones they've tasted in Paris.
Wow.
And for that is a big one, yes.
Okay. First dessert you ever made?
Brownies when I was 6 years old.
When you were 6 years
yes.
old? Okay, we're digging into that. So tell me more about that.
So it was just, I was at a, you know, I used to stay in my aunt's house every weekend, and she used to teach me a lot of things. I was a very impatient child. I still am. I get bored really easily. So every time she had to think of new activities to keep me busy.
Okay.
So she taught me stitching, knitting, like everything possible. And then one day she was like, okay, we'll bake something. And so I clearly remember being in the kitchen with her and just taking like simple ingredients, you know, it was just butter, sugar, eggs, flour, chocolate, mixing it together. And then we got something that was so beautiful and almost like, it was almost like magic. And that just stayed with me.
Okay. So as we end the podcast, could you tell me one thing that you'd like to tell people, not just about your bakery, but about yourself?
I think most people just see the glamorous side of this industry and think that, oh, starting a restaurant or starting a cafe will be exciting and fun and we get to hang out with our friends. It's far from it. It's a great industry to be in, but you have to realize that there's a lot of work that goes on in, and making something once is easy, but being consistent with it is what the challenge is. So if you're ready to work hard and you're passionate, then this is the industry for you.
Okay. So, Ms. Pooja, thank you so much for talking to us. It's been an absolute honor talking to you. And we hope we get to see you again and try your macaroons.
Come to Bombay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to that podcast. The Indian Women blog is experimenting with podcasts so we can bring you your content in a large variety of mediums. If you like the podcast, don't forget to let us know on our blog, indianwomenblog.org. Again, that's indianwomenblog.org, or on our Facebook page. Thank you so much for tuning in.